Hello and welcome to The Reading Life, WWNO's weekly look at the New Orleans literary scene. I'm Susan Larson. My guests this week are booksellers Donna Allen, Judith Lafitte, and Britton Trice with holiday gift suggestions, and I'll have a few of my own. Just as we did last year, we've invited three local indie booksellers to help us out with their special recommendations for holiday gifts. First up is Donna Allen, owner of Maple Street Bookshop, whose favorites are nonfiction. Judith Lafitte of Octavia Books will give us her picks for children and young adults, and Britton Trice selects great fiction with a little lagniappe. So Donna's the owner of Maple Street Bookshop with locations uptown on Maple Street, in the New Orleans Healing Center, mm-hmm. and in Bayou St. John.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Yeah. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Maple Street all over town.
Yep.
Now, I know, Donna, that your preferred reading is nonfiction.
Right.
So what have you chosen for holiday giving?
Well, I have four books in mind, and the main one that I'm really excited about this season is A Unique Slant of Light. This is the one that was published by the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities, and it's a look at the history of art in Louisiana. It is gorgeous. I mean, the book is just so well done. If anyone, you know, is looking for a gift for a collector, you know, if they have their own home libraries with a Louisiana collection in it, this is perfect.
Or an art collector.
Exactly, exactly. This fits the bill. I mean, it has, I think, a little bit over 400 images from, you know, not only private collections, but from the main museums all over the state, you know, the Ogden, LSU, Historic New Orleans collection. Then it has, I believe, 275 entries on individual artists from the state. So art history majors or artists or just people that are interested in Louisiana history, this is a very well done book.
And people who love beauty in
exactly.
every form. And the great thing about it, too, is that once you get the book, it's supported by that great online presence that leads you even more into the world of Louisiana
right.
art.
Right.
It's one of the books of the year, I think.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think so, too.
So what's next?
Well, another personal favorite is I'm a Good Dog by Ken Foster. This one focuses on kind of the history of the American Pit Bull. And, you know, Ken is local, and he's written several books before on pit bulls.
It's a wonderful photography book.
It is. There's a lot of photographs in it. He actually goes into the history of the American pit bull and some of the more famous mm-hmm. pit bulls. So, you know, if you're looking for a gift for an animal lover or if someone in your life owns a pit bull, this is a great choice.
But all dog lovers will just,
oh, yeah,
you know,
definitely.
They'll love it. In the interest of full disclosure, we should probably say that Ken Foster works at Maple Street Bookshop in the New Orleans Healing
he
Center.
Does. He does.
He's a great bookseller.
Yeah, and also I have two pit bulls. So one of them is from Ken, you know, from his foundation.
Everybody
so, yeah,
who
just
hangs
full...
around with him ends
I know.
Up with pit bulls. I'm
I
afraid.
I know. So, yeah, full disclosure. I'm
okay.
a little biased. But...
So what's next?
Chris Ware, Building Stories. This is, I hate to call it a book because it's not really a book. It's more like a, I guess you could call it a book in a box.
Yeah.
If you have someone on your Christmas list that is interested in graphic novels, I would pick this one.
And he's one of the big, big names in graphic novels.
Yeah, he really is. And this, you open the box and it's really more like a puzzle than mm-hmm. anything else. And the focus of the story is a Chicago apartment building and, you know, all of the people that live within that apartment building. But within the box itself, you know, you have comic books, you have posters, you have all sorts of little puzzle pieces that, you know, you put together and it tells the story of each person that lives within this apartment building. Mm-hmm. So it's gotten a lot of good press. And I mean, we've sold numerous copies of it. So
and it's big. I mean, the box is pretty big.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. It's about the size of a board game. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely a work of art.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, books are always taking new forms. That's one of the wonderful things about
right,
this.
Right, exactly. And one thing that I noticed in a couple of the reviews, they're saying that this particular book in a box really solidifies the physical object of mm-hmm. a book. There's no way in the world this can be put online or, you know, as an ebook.
Right.
It won't work.
You have to have all the different pieces.
You
in
have
your
to
hands.
Have all the different pieces and you have to be able to put your hands on it. Mm-hmm. So,
and last but not least,
How Music Works by David Byrne. This, if you have anyone that is remotely interested in music on your holiday list, I highly recommend this. David Byrne, as I'm sure everyone knows, you know, used to be with the Talking Heads. And this book, he really looks at music more from a history standpoint or a historian standpoint. He talks about the origins of music and how the music industry has changed over the years. And he really focuses on how recording equipment and, you know, production equipment, how that has changed the music world. Now, I mean, there are a few little areas where, you know, he talks about his own private experiences in the music world. But for the most part, it's really a look at music itself.
Mm-hmm. And he has such an intriguing intelligence. I mean, remember his book, The Bicycle Diaries?
Yes.
He's mm-hmm. a wonderful writer mm-hmm. anyway.
He is.
Yeah, and that's from McSweeney's, so
it's
a beautiful book.
Yep.
So we've been talking with Donna Allen of Maple Street Bookshop with her recommendations for holiday nonfiction. Thanks for coming in, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
My next guest is Judith Lafitte, who owns Octavia Books with her husband, Tom Loewenberg. Judith, I'm so glad to see you again.
Yes, yeah, Susan, this is so much fun. I really enjoy doing this. We always have such a great time.
Well, we talk about books all the time.
Yes.
But it's especially fun to talk about them during a holiday. So what are some of your favorite books this season?
I have some really fun books this go round for the holidays. Maybe not specifically holiday books, but I think some books that will get kids reading and get their interests going for the holidays.
Well, you sort of just want books that feel festive anyway, you know?
Definitely. So let's start with Christmas Wombat, of course, is the cutest little story of a wombat who has an extreme craving for carrots. And he has several encounters with reindeers and a polar bear where he goes head to head with them and insists the carrots are for him. It's a simple, sweet tale of an Australian bear-like animal who manages to hitch a ride on Santa's sled and eats the carrots along the way. But you'll have to read the book to find out what happens once he gets back to the North Pole.
So. Well, it's sort of a winter wonderland story in a way. And you know what else it reminded me of? It reminded me of that Mem Fox book, Wombat Divine.
Yes, it's,
you know,
so cute. So
the allure of the wombat for Christmas.
You know, they're really, really cute. I was actually in Australia and actually got to see one in person. And they really are just little round furry creatures. They actually like to sleep in a clump.
Aww.
So it's like a little pack of them sleeping together. It's cute.
Well, this wombat's very cute.
My next pick is This Is Not My Hat by John Klassen. This is a most funny story It's told mostly in pictures. It has a few words, but it's a story of a tiny fish who steals a little blue derby and declares, "This is not mine. I just stole it." The story is told with few words, but the images pack a whole lot of message about the tiny fish's escapade. What happens at the end, of course, you have to figure it out.
Well, and this book will be familiar to people who read the first one, which is I Want My Hat Back by John Classen.
Yes.
So they're very recognizable, charming illustrations.
They really are. He seems to be able to capture, with the expressions on the characters' faces, exactly what's going on, which is very cute.
Mm-hmm.
It's very alluring.
Yes.
Oh. So my next pick, we're moving on to middle grade. And Summer and Bird is a wonderful retelling of the Swan Queen. And it's about two sisters, of course their names are Summer and Bird, who go on a quest to vanquish the ravenous bird-swallowing puppeteer and reveal the true heir of the Swan Queen's throne. The story is lyrical, it's magical, it's written so well, and it's captivating and it's exciting to read. I think girls and even boys would like reading this. I mean, the story is just very well written.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is Liar and Spy by Rebecca Stead. She is written this story about two kids, George and Safer, who meet when George's family moves to a Brooklyn apartment building. And Safer is a self-appointed spy who manages to recruit George to spy for him. George's father is an out-of-work architect, and his mother, who is a nurse, takes on more shifts to help support the family. And George is having a really tough time in seventh grade, being bullied while his ex-best friend stands by, not helping him in any way. Safer recruits George to spy on a mysterious tenant in the building. And it's a test of their friendship when Safer really applies pressure on him to do things that maybe he doesn't really want to do. So it's a test of their relationship in terms of whether they are really friends or not friends,
mm-hmm.
and what all that implies. But it's a great story. And for boys especially, I think they would really love reading this. It's
mm-hmm.
a great, great story. My next one is for, of course, the YA group, and it's called Cruel by Jennifer Albin.
And we should say it's C-R-E-W-E-L.
Exactly. And this is a fabulous story. It's about a girl, Adelise Lewin, whose family discovers that she has the gift of weaving time and space, basically.
Wow.
And at age 16, all girls have to go to this school to actually learn how to hone their skills. And her parents know that she is so adept at this that they try to hide her. They don't want her to go to the school because they think that she'll be treated badly. So Adelise is captured, her father is killed, and the fates of her sister and mother are not known. Then in the process, of course, Adelise has to go to this school, and she realizes she's faced with the very hard decision of determining her own future. And to get there, she is befriended by Lauricelle, the most powerful spinster of Arras, who understands the burden that being a crueler brings with it. And this is a trilogy. But this is the first book in the trilogy, and it's the first book in the series, which is really, really great. I mean, it's well written, it's very exciting, and it's great.
So a good adventure story for girls. Get in on it at the very start.
Exactly.
Now, the last bunch you have is a whole group, right?
Yes, I have a whole group of books to talk about, and that is connected with the Rise of the Guardian movie that's out. And if anybody has seen the movie and is interested in actually reading the books that actually created for this movie, The Guardians of Childhood by William Joyce are just fantastic. They're a wonderful series. I mean, just unbelievable. Well written, exciting, fun. And he's done it in two age groups. One is the 8 and up age group and 4 to 8 age group. The new books on the shelf are Toothiana and The Sandman. So pick those up if you haven't and just read them. They're just the best ever.
And get the backstory for Santa Claus, The Sandman, The Man in the Moon, all these wonderful guardians of childhood.
Exactly.
Well, Judith, this is a great list.
Thank you very much, Susan.
And don't forget, we have a lot of fabulous children's books by local authors. We have A New Adventures of Mardi Gras Bead Dog from Cornell Landry, Diane de las Casas, Beware, Beware of the Big Bad Bear, Alex Beard's Monkey See, Monkey Draw, Johnette Downing's Why the Possum Has a Large Grin. That always makes me smile. And Madeline Herlong's terrific young adult novel, Buddy.
Definitely.
Didn't you love that?
Oh my gosh, yes.
So, well, happy holidays, Judith.
Happy holidays, Susan. Thank you very much for having me.
Britton Trice is the longtime bookseller at Garden District Bookshop. And Britton, your list has some wonderful fiction on it, I know. So what are your favorites this season?
Well, Susan, there's certainly a plethora of great fall books this year, including fiction from heavyweights like Tom Wolfe, Barbara Kingsolver, and the National Book Award winner Louise Erdrich. But perhaps I think our store favorite is Juno Diaz's This Is How You Lose Her. This book is a collection of interconnected stories about the haunting power of love in all its shapes and forms. And Juno is probably the closest thing to what we in the book world have as a rock star. I'm sure you've probably heard the story about the near riot he caused at his reading in New York City recently. But police had to be called, and the crowd was very, you know, demanding of his time and space to get in.
And that's something for a Pulitzer winner, the author of The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde.
It is.
So, pretty impressive.
Definitely. And definitely an impressive book.
And what's next?
While we're talking about short stories, I wanted to also mention the new collection by the short story master Alice Munro, entitled Dear Life. It's amazing how Alice can give us the essence of a life in a short story, and she does it over and over again, including in this collection, four autobiographical short stories.
And she says that's not really a story, that's life,
right,
about some, which I love.
But amazing how she just, book after book, when she comes out, they're just masterful stories.
It's kind of funny because the people who love her work describe it as if it were, you know, like this great fraternity and sorority of readers. Like, do you read Alice Munro? Yes. You know?
Right.
Just, even unexpected people read Alice
Definitely.
Munro. So what else?
Next up is Mrs. Queen Takes the Train by William Kuhn. This is a charming novel that should be on any Anglophile's Christmas list. The Queen, after decades of watching her family's troubles play out across the media headlines, wants to return to Edinburgh, a place that holds fond memories of a less stressful life. She walks out of Buckingham Palace in a skull-emblazoned hoodie, and the adventure begins. What an image that is.
I love this book. And you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of that Alan Bennett book, The Uncommon Reader.
Yes, definitely.
When the Queen starts reading books from the bookmobile and takes charge of her own life.
But her escapades on the way to Edinburgh are really charming and a real insight into life in England.
It's a wonderful book. It really is. So what else?
Lots of new mysteries out this year, including great reads by Michael Connelly and our own James Lee Burke. But I have a little sleeper that I loved called Black Fridays by Michael Sears. Michael is a retired barn trader, and this is a remarkable first novel. His protagonist, Jason Stafford, a Wall Street hotshot, has been released from prison after making some illegal trading moves. Banned from working on the street, he is hired to look into some trading irregularities which lead him into immediate danger. As he tries to extract himself from this danger, he is also on another quest to establish a relationship with his 5-year-old autistic son. It's this touching and difficult relationship with his son that really makes this book stand out for me. I can't wait to see where Michael takes his characters in his next mystery.
That sounds really great, really intriguing. And now you have a little nonfiction too, huh?
I do. First up is Thomas Jefferson, The Art of Power by the Pulitzer Prize-winning John Meacham. Being a University of Virginia graduate, I guess it's not surprising that I like this one. Meacham shows Jefferson's passion about everything, from books, science, gardening, architecture, friends, women, and of course, America.
And you think, who needs another book about Jefferson? But we needed this one.
It's true. I mean, it really kind of completes the picture.
Yeah.
Meacham presents Jefferson as the most successful political leader of the early republic, perhaps in all of American history. And you come out with a real sense of Jefferson's political genius.
Mm-hmm. And what's next?
Well, since it's New Orleans, I can't not mention a couple of cookbooks. First up, Southern Comfort Cookbook by Allison Vines Rushing and Slades Rushing. Charming young couple who are the chefs at the restaurant Mila in the Pierre Marquette Hotel in downtown New Orleans. These are great-looking recipes that put a new twist on our great Louisiana products. Black-eyed pea empanadas, coconut shrimp beignets with pepper jelly sauce. And instead of the usual barbecue shrimp we normally see, they have a gorgeous-looking New Orleans-style barbecue lobster.
Ooh.
Delicious.
Did you make it or did you have it at the restaurant?
I had it at the restaurant, I have to admit. And I don't know if you're hearing much about food bloggers these days, but it seems to be the real trend. It seems every 3 days I'm getting a recipe sent to me by my daughter from several food bloggers. One of these is really have turned into a staff favorite, and it's called What Katie Ate, Recipes and Other Bits and Pieces by Katie Quinn Davies.
And that one really does look good. The other one I love so much is the Smitten Kitchen Cookbook.
That is the second one on our list of food blogger cookbooks that both look really good.
And part of it is that Deb Perlman and Katie are both such great photographers.
Exactly.
They make the food look terrific.
The photos that come out every day are just amazing.
And what else is on your list?
Last is probably my favorite book of the fall, and Will Schwabe's The End of Your Life Book Club. A remarkable novel that I know, or not novel, but a memoir that I know you loved also.
I know. That's one of my favorite books of this year. 2 years of reading with his mother at the end of her life.
And it can be read in many different levels. So a memoir of his remarkable mother to this collection of wonderful books that they read. And it's just, at the end of the book is a list of all the books they read. And it's just a real amazing reference and resource for any book club member.
Right. It can keep a book club going through, you know,
years.
Through years. Well, these are great. Thank you so much, Britton.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Susan.
Here are some of my favorite books this season. There's great new fiction from Alice Munro, the Canadian short story writer. Dear Life is one of the best books I've read this year. Flight Behavior by Barbara Kingsolver is another page-turning wonder by the writer who chronicles the intersection of the human and natural world so beautifully. Mr. Penumbra's 24-Hour Bookstore by Robin Sloan is a perfect parable for these changing times in reading. Whether you like to browse in antiquarian bookstores or hold on to your Kindles, Nooks, and Kobos. One great all-purpose gift book is Hello, Goodbye, Hello, A Circle of 101 Remarkable Meetings, stories of real encounters by such figures as Helen Keller and Mark Twain, or Madonna meeting Martha Graham, all told beautifully and briefly by Craig Brown. And this year, my all-purpose gift book is The Fantastic Flying Books of Mr. Morris Lesmore by Shreveport's own William Joyce, a celebration of all the differences books can make in our lives. For mystery readers, come off to Scandinavia with me with The Stockholm Octavo by Karen Engelman, set in Stockholm of 1791, or Phantom by Joe Nesbo, an unforgettable entry in the Harry Hola saga. Inspirational titles that are perfect for gift giving include The End of Your Life Book Club by Will Schwalbe and Help, Thanks, Wow, The Three Essential Prayers by Annie Lamott. For music lovers, I'd suggest Reinventing Bach by Paul Eli, who has a wonderful way of describing the way Bach comes back to life with every new technological invention. And of course, when not performing, New Orleans musicians, photos by David Spielman, text by Fred Lyon, or Ben Sandmel's remarkable biography of Ernie Cato. Other great local titles include Dixie Bohemia, A French Quarter Circle in the 1920s by John Shelton Reed, a lavish photography volume called Grand Couteau by John Slaughter, with text by Patrice Melnick. And then there's In the Spirit of New Orleans by Deborah Shriver, Jackson Squared in Words and Pictures, Mostly Pictures, by Tom Verisco and John Biganay. Madame Begay's Recipes of Old New Orleans Creole Cookery, revised and edited by Poppy Tooker. Josephine Sacabo and Dalt Wonk have created a gorgeous volume, Nocturnes, and Dalt Wonk has retold his gorgeous French Quarter fables in a new, lavish volume. There's one in your neighborhood, the Lost Movie Theaters of New Orleans by René Brunet Jr. and Jack Stewart, celebrates our cinematic heritage. And for the poetry lover, don't miss A Thousand Mornings by Mary Oliver. For the book lover, and that's me, of course, take a look at My Ideal Bookshelf with art by Jane Mount, edited by Thessaly LaForce. This collection of paintings of authors, designers, all kinds of people's favorite books painted as portraits on a shelf will set you to dreaming of future reading for the new year. Here's what's on tap in the literary life this week. Ken Foster signs I'm a Good Dog, Pitbulls, America's Most Beautiful and Misunderstood Pet, Tuesday, December 11th at 6 p.m. at Octavia Books. The Hard Times Blues Tour 2012 is coming to New Orleans. Alwyn Cotman, Ben Passmore, and Luca Miro present their comics, fiction, poetry, and music, along with poet Ben Cabell, Wednesday, December 12th at 8 p.m. at Fairgrinds, next to Maple Street Bookshops, Bayou St. John location. Emily Ford signs The Jews of New Orleans and the Mississippi Delta, Thursday, December 13th at 5:30 at Garden District Bookshop. Poet Melinda Palacio signs How Fire is a Story Waiting, Thursday, December 13th at 6 p.m. at Octavia Books. Laura Simulian and Julian Simulian read their work as part of 17 Poets Literary and Performance Series, Thursday, December 13th at 8 p.m. at the Goldmine Saloon. Poppy Tooker signs Madame Begay's Recipes of Old New Orleans Creole Cookery, Saturday, December 15th at 1 at Barnes & Noble West Bank. Phil Sandusky signs New Orleans Impressionist Landscapes, Saturday, December 15th at 2 p.m. at Octavia Books. Heather Graham's Writers for New Orleans Conference takes place December 14th through 16th at the Hotel Monteleone. If you love genre fiction, come on out and meet Heather Graham, James Rollins, and David Morrell. For more information and ticket info, check out writersforneworleans.com. Poets Alan Peterson and Ben Cappell read their work Wednesday, December 19th at 6 p.m. at Maple Street Bookshop Uptown. There will be an open mic reading Sunday, December 16th at 3 p.m. at the Maple Leaf Bar. And coming up, Deborah Shriver signs In the Spirit of New Orleans at Hazelnut, 5515 Magazine Street, Sunday, December 23rd from 3 to 4:30. Major support for The Reading Life comes from Octavia Books. Additional support comes from the Christwood Retirement Community, Our Lady of Holy Cross College, and the University of Louisiana at Lafayette Press. The Reading Life is produced by Jenny Lawson and is a production of WWNO. You can listen to us anytime or subscribe to our podcast at wwno.org. Or you can email us anytime at thereadinglife@wwno.org. I'm Susan Larson. Thanks for listening and keep reading.